40 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. House lawmakers will reconvene tomorrow at noon to try for a third day to choose a speaker. California Republican Congressman Kevin McCarthy vows to fight to the finish for the job. CBS's Rebecca Kaplan reports.
House Republicans made no progress in picking a new speaker for the second day in a row, with Californian Kevin McCarthy failing to gain a majority during three additional votes for a total of six ballots over 2 days. 20 Republicans held firm in their opposition and supported Florida Republican Byron Donalds, citing a lack of trust in McCarthy and seeking more power for rank-and-file members. Some of the holdouts met with McCarthy in the Capitol Wednesday evening, with both sides claiming progress in talks, but not enough for another round of votes.
Massive amounts of rain are expected across much of California, from Los Angeles to Oregon, with the heaviest rain falling overnight. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti in Sacramento County.
California has already endured a pounding, and it's about to get even worse.
We just ran out.
In San Francisco, already battered by record rainfall, the demand for sandbags is so high, the city has exhausted its supply.
Evacuations have been ordered in high-risk coastal areas, and high winds have knocked out power to more than 76,000 customers in the San Francisco Bay Area. CBS's Jim Crisula reports on new water problems in a large city in the Deep South.
All public schools in Jackson, Mississippi have had to switch to virtual learning because they have little or no water pressure. Most of the predominantly black city of 180,000 has been without running water since Christmas Eve. Meals, breakfast, and lunch will be provided for student pickup at each school.
The man accused of killing four college students is now in Idaho after his extradition from Pennsylvania, where authorities arrested him last week. CBS's Donya Backus reports.
His public defender for that hearing, Jason LaBar, describes him as calm and intelligent.
He's an ordinary man to me. I see no distinct characteristics. He's easy to talk to. He's aware of the situation.
The so-called mastermind of the Varsity Blues College admission scandal has been sentenced, CBS's Steve Futterman reports.
Rick Singer, who helps celebrities and the wealthy get their children into schools using fraudulent SAT scores and embellishing their qualifications, was given 3.5 years in prison. Among those caught up in the scandal were actresses Lori Loughman and Felicity Huffman, along with coaches from numerous schools.
Amazon and business software maker Salesforce announced major job cuts. Amazon says it's slashing about 18,000 positions, the largest set of layoffs in the company's history, but just a fraction of its 1.5 million global workforce. Salesforce is laying off about 8,000 employees, or 10% of its workforce. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana.
The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. I'm pretty happy that we got that on camera of us all playing our respective instruments for On Wisconsin. We are going to talk about yesterday's inauguration, and here to join us and give his thoughts on the ceremony, the speeches, but maybe not the gala, because it sounds like you did not go. Your invite got lost in the mail too, right, Dan Schaefer?
Yeah, lost in the mail. I'm not fancy enough to go to these Madison parties at the inauguration. I'm just gonna hang out here in Milwaukee and, you know, eat pizza with my kids.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sounds amazing.
All right, so we were on air during the actual rotunda swearing in and the speeches, and I think there was a marching band of some band from, I'm guessing maybe it was West High School, I don't know, was there, but it was full. I saw some pictures. I had it on streaming, but obviously we had a live radio show, so I did not get to watch much of it. Were you watching the live coverage of yesterday starting at 11?
I watched the whole thing. I like these big ceremonial type of things that government does when everybody starts out these sessions with, you know, saying, oh, we're going to be bipartisan and we're going to work together, and like all these wonderful platitudes that will, you know, immediately be chucked out the door as soon as the rubber hits the road. But I like the symbolic message of it, to just like the reset, the starting something new, the over the top pomp and circumstance. And then you had, you know, things like Tony Evers getting up in his speech, and he's going to go up and play the hits now. So he started his speech by saying, I'm Tony Evers, and yes, I'm jazzed as hell to be sworn in as the 46th governor of the great state of Wisconsin. And ended his speech, you know, as only Evers truly could, with Wisconsin, let's polka tonight and let's get to work tomorrow. So he's just really playing the hits to start things and close things. I feel like that was really a theme throughout of it. It's just, you know, all these guys saying much what they have throughout the campaign.
Were there any mackerels thrown in there?
I don't think there are any holy mackerels thrown in there. He didn't, you know, swear anything past the jazzed as hell. That's when, you know, Evers is really fired up, when he drops a BS line or something like that in
or
there.
GD.
I feel like we should come up with some sort of Evers anger scale, where it's just like, you know, the BS. I'm trying not to swear on live radio here, so I'll just kick it back to you. But I think, you know, we should really get something like that to talk.
I mean, truly, the Obama anger interpreter was one of the best. And so I don't know what that would look like as a Wisconsin version for Tony Evers, but there's something there. Greg, get on it.
All right, fine. I feel like the top would actually not even be swears. It should be like, now you've done it. And then his eyes just light up with fire, like, oh no, Tony's gone nuclear.
Does Tony Evers as Homelander?
Tony Evers saying something like, listen here, buddy. And it's like, whoa, we gotta take a step back there.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
So I think you make a good point, though, because I feel like on both sides right now, there's been sentiments about not real compromise, but like lowering the temperature between things that Brian Schimming has said in his newly elected position as the GOP chair. Voss has even said a little bit of like, well, we're not going to reintroduce bills that we know he's just going to veto, that Evers has said, you know, what do we need to do to get some of these appointments through? And so do you think it's all, we're not going to swear, BS? Do you think it's actually with good intentions? And do you think there's any chance of not, I'm not going to say everything's going to just be kumbaya, but it is, could it be different this time around, knowing that they can't just, they being the GOP, can't just dig their heels in as much? And to be fair, I've also heard that it's not like the Evers administration was always coming to the table either.
Right. So I think, you know, you think back to these last 4 years of Tony Evers' term, and so much of it from the Republican side in the legislature has been defined by this policy of obstruction, whether it's the gavel in, gavel outs, whether it's not bringing Democratic bills up for public hearings, whether it's not addressing the 180 appointments that never, that the state Senate just never took up, whether it's, you know, the guys like the letting people stay on the DNR board or the Technical College board, all of these things that the Republicans did to try to make Tony Evers a one-term governor failed. So you would hope that they have to, you know, alter their strategy a little bit, knowing that they were not able to make Evers a one-term governor. You know, they played basically 4 years of legislative keep away to try to keep Evers from doing even, you know, the types of things that had consensus popularity, things like expanding Medicaid, legalizing marijuana, increasing school funding, all the different things that, you know, as Evers kind of quipped during his speech yesterday, are the types of things that pull off the charts on the Marquette Law poll. You know, he was I think he had a line here in the speech saying that, like, I'm not naive enough to believe that 100% of the people who cast their ballot agree with me on every issue. Depending on the issue, it's probably closer to 60, 70, 80% based on the Marquette Law poll. So he is trying to, you know, put forward those issues where there is kind of a more of a broad consensus in the state of Wisconsin. I don't think, you know, the Republicans are going to come and have this kumbaya moment that people might be hoping for. But I do think it's going to have to be a little bit better than last session, knowing that they failed in their ultimate goal of preventing that second term.
Well, because, I mean, the only reason why I'm starting to think maybe the difference between just words and actions is Fred Prenz stepped down. And yesterday, three of the Technical College board people, women, it was all women, right?
Yeah.
Had also stepped down. And so, like, there is some people saying, all right, we're it's not necessarily the elected officials, but some of the appointed people who refuse to step down are like, all right, I'm going to walk away now. And that's the only thing that's kind of been a kernel of maybe it won't be as bad.
I think it has to do with what we were talking about in the earlier segment, too, with the House, is that that strategy just didn't work, so they have to correct now. And you're going to have the residual of, like, you know, have the people in you'll have those people who will try to be obstructionists, but you got people like Voss who's just going to say, like, all right, let's just get things done. And will people in the GOP in Madison turn on Voss then?
Mm-hmm.
Can they? Because I would say he's got a lot of power. So, but like,
he's also vindictive as AF.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. But like, is this what we're seeing right now in, like, the public, like, just they're like, oh, we can't do this anymore. We got to get something done. It might not be everything we like or not a lot, but it's more than last time.
Well, Voss. So I happened to watch Voss's speech yesterday.
I was going to ask. Okay.
So it's always very funny to hear Robin Voss talk about compromise and bipartisanship and all of these things that he has done none of during his extended time as Assembly Speaker. And it's also very interesting to see Voss try to paint himself as some sort of moderate.
Yeah.
Just because there's like one or two representatives that are now to the right of him, that he, you know, people like Janelle Branch and who he empowered through making her the head of the elections committee in the last session. So now he's trying to paint himself as the moderate. And I think he said at one point in the speech, you know, 90% of the work is in the middle in Wisconsin, and painting himself as kind of being part of that middle is very funny, considering the fact that we have more than a decade of evidence that he is nothing of the sort. But I think there, you know, there are these like incremental steps that he's kind of, you know, signified, like take the Milwaukee local revenue issue, mm-hmm. for example. 2 years ago in interviews, he does these kind of like interview circuits with like the policy forums and the WisPolitics of the world. And in the kind of like off season before the session, and before he said on the local sales tax, he said, this is never happening. Never, never, never. And now he's saying, okay, it's probably not happening. We want to see reform. We want to see privatization. We want to see blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a little better, right? Like it's a little better that he is not just shutting down the entire thing. But again, he's not exactly the most bipartisan compromise type of guy as much as he's trying to paint himself as that now.
And that's an interesting thing that I haven't dug in enough, because I heard that he's saying that. It's like, well, I want them to exhaust. I want the, you know, Crowley, Common Council, Chevy to exhaust their options of what could be privatized. And I understand the argument of efficiencies and all of this stuff with business, but ultimately there's things that are public goods. And when you privatize them, those private entities are looking to make money. They're not doing it because it is a right or a public good, right? Like they're looking to turn a profit on whatever they do. So like, I don't know. I haven't dug in and be like, well, what could we even privatize that would make sense and not just screw over the people who need these services?
When I worked for the city of Racine, one of the things we looked at doing was privatizing our garbage pickup. And we met with some companies and we found out in the long run, after looking at projections to what you're saying, they're looking to make as much money by spending as least amount of money, which means cutting things within their business, which means cutting services to the people. And we found out that privatizing garbage pickup in Racine would have costed more and been less of a value for the people. So whenever someone talks about the beauty of privatization, that's the first thing I always think about, is that scenario is like, it's going to cost you more in the long run and people are going to be more angry and there's going to be less recourse.
Well, you also put up in a position to give them a monopoly.
Yeah.
Who likes We Energies?
They're the number one energy source for you here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Does anyone like We Energy? No. Does anyone think it's working?
No. It's the same with Spectrum.
That's what they're saying. We need more We Energy style government in Wisconsin.
This is really working for everyone right now.
They should
now.
Just be called We Energy. Yeah. There's no more than one. Just We Energy.
All right. Well, we got to take a break, but Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here when we come back. If you have any questions or comments for us, feel free to text them in 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire 8-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter. feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Chance for snow overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 29. Southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast tomorrow, chance for snow. High temperatures reach up to 34. Chance for snow showers tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 27. Cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Greg Bach is here. He's very excited about this bumper music that Jane Mattenair on the board played. And we are joined by Dan Schaefer from the Weekend Population Area. Greg, before we go back into yesterday's inauguration, you seem very excited about that bumper music.
That was Lemmy.
Who?
Motorhead's lead singer, now RIP, is gone now. But Lemmy, that was Lemmy singing an acoustic song, which, if you know Motorhead, Ace of Spades. Okay, I'm talking to my sister, apparently.
I think Jane gets it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. If there's any way you can work Ace of Spades into this soon, you can just hear what Lemmy's known for. But okay.
Okay, Lemmy. Dan gets it too. I'm the only one who's lost a deer in headlights right now.
Oh, man, you're just not with what the kids are listening to nowadays.
And I just
didn't you have a metalhead phase growing up, Kristen? Come on now.
I had a strong
musical
Broadway. Yeah. Yes, Broadway.
I just had to use it because talking about Governor Evers and the name of the song is I Ain't No Nice Guy, which I just think is perfect.
And Lemmy was, though. He was a sweetheart.
The amount of Easter eggs that Jane puts into this show is just chef's kiss. All right, so we're talking about inauguration. We're talking about the speeches, bipartisanship. And that was one of the things as I was reading people's coverage of yesterday is that right now, Devin Lemihu, Voss, they are very hung up on this flat income tax plan. And everything I understand this tax plan to be is that it would benefit people who are already making a lot of money. I would say it's probably still better than no income tax, which I know certain groups are really pushing for that too. And I did not listen to Voss's speech. So what were some of the things that he said about that you would like to discuss, Mr. Dan Schaefer?
Well, first, I think it's important to note that this was something that the Republicans denied that they were running on during the campaign. a friend of As Goes Wisconsin, Phil Rocco, wrote a piece for the Recombobulation Area talking about the flat tax proposal that Tim Michaels floated. And we got all sorts of backlash saying, oh, this isn't a real proposal. This isn't that. And as soon as the election's over, LeMahieu and Voss are like, yeah, we want a flat tax. We want to have this upwards redistribution of wealth.
We're going to die on this hill during the budget cycle.
Yeah. So they told us, they got so mad at us. We even got pushback from like Grover Norquist over our piece on this, which was very ridiculous. And I can send you the link to the rebuttal that Phil wrote, which was hilarious. But they so insisted, they were so furious with us for saying that Republicans wanted a flat tax. And as soon as the election's over, they're like, yeah, we want a flat tax. So, funny campaign politics versus actual legislating politics as well. But Robin Voss did bring this up again. He had kind of three main points as legislative priorities that he mentioned in his speech when he was elected speaker. Not quite as tumultuous of a vote to elect him speaker as Kevin McCarthy is facing in the House right now. But he did not get 100% of Republicans voting for him. There were 60 votes of the 64 for Voss. I'm still trying to figure out who those four votes are. I know Janelle Branchon is one of them.
Absolutely.
But you know, one of the things that he talked about as a challenge in Wisconsin is Wisconsin's demographic crisis, having no net population growth over the past decade. You know, it's a real mystery who was in charge that past decade. Who could have possibly caused those potential policies with people leaving the state? Who could it have been?
I mean, but Scott Walker had that $1 million ad campaign. You're saying that didn't work?
Yeah, it did not work. You know, we don't know who was in charge. We don't know who to pin the blame on for these types of things. Couldn't have been the unified Republican government that was advancing. You know, who knows? But he talked about a flat tax as a way to attract people to live in the state of Wisconsin, which I know, Kristen, you've talked about as something that has been floated throughout the campaign is really speaking to the millennial audience. You know, let's get rid of women's reproductive rights. Let's get rid of, you know, all sorts of different things. But, you know, if we have a flat tax, and one of the things that he mentioned with that, and he's mentioned in a couple interviews, I watched too many of these Voss interviews during these the pre-session thing, but he talked about, you know, retired couples, you know, making their primary residence in Florida or Tennessee versus Wisconsin. This seems to be a big concern of Voss's. And he even went as far as to say, you know, that flat taxes, and I'm going to quote here, he says, just to be clear, it's not about rewarding the wealthy, even though there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a direct quote.
Spoken like a wealthy guy. Popcorn king of Wisconsin.
And he's talking about people, whether retired couples having their permanent residence in Florida versus Wisconsin, really speaking to the needs of the state of Wisconsin, really talking about the real priorities that we should be addressing in the state assembly.
Well, and also really speaking to the needs of the workforce that we so desperately need. And I will say, I get it. I have wealthy friends who, when they're like, I should leave New York because I make a lot of money, and if I went to a place like Puerto Rico or Florida or Texas, I wouldn't have to pay this in taxes. And then sometimes they get there, they're like, I miss New York, right? Yeah. There's a reason why you pay a premium on some places to live, and that we are not New York, but we are also not Florida. You know how someone check the weather in Florida right now tell me the difference of how much more sunshine and temperature they have than us, right? Like, there's certain places that we're not going to be able to compete with because some people just want to have vitamin D in the middle of the winter, right? And there's different, it's 81 degrees here right now. It's 37 here right now. And so I just don't buy that we will be a competitive place by simply lowering our taxes or eliminating income tax, because we need more to compete on than that, because we certainly don't have the weather. And now we're running out of time. Mr. Dan Schaefer, we'll have to have you back, not only again, but maybe for longer. Plenty of things to talk about. The budget, Supreme Court race. I'm sure you'll be writing about all of it on the Recombobulation Area. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Well, when we come back, a conversation about how many friends, specifically good friends, do you actually need for optimal health? We'll be back. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
The SHA 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Still speakerless, the U.S. House calls it a day.
On this vote, the yeas are 200. On this vote, the yeas are 216. The nays are 214.
By which all of the unsworn members of the House adjourn to try again another day. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy hoping that'll mean a different outcome, as Republican opponents have now blocked his bid to become Speaker of the House six times.
I don't think voting tonight does any difference, but I think voting in the future will.
Another huge storm now hitting California, Sacramento included.
Trees down with the high wind and also ponding of water and street flooding for the overnight especially. It won't take much to start seeing water ponding on the roadways.
KOVR-TV's chief meteorologist Nick Marianos, California Governor Newsom declaring a state of emergency. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
This low-acid food series is brought to you by Prilosec OTC.
I'm Carla Hall. You might not realize it, but specific foods can trigger heartburn, such as spicy, fatty, or fried foods. Same with citrus, chocolate, and beverages like alcohol, coffee, or carbonated ones. I know we all love these foods and flavors, but just remember to eat and drink them in moderation.
Prilosec OTC prevents excess acid that can cause heartburn. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. Use as directed.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around.
AARP makes it easy. Go to aceyourretirement.org and chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. It's free and only takes 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Answer some questions and get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings.
Thanks.
Just head to aceyourretirement.org. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Say what's wrong, my longtime friend. Something's bothering you. Tell me what the problem is. I'll see what I can do. There are times.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us during your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Jane Matinair is on the board. Greg Bach is across from me.
Hi.
And we are going to have a non-political conversation. We're going to shift gears into a more emotional, psychological health conversation about friendship. How many close friends do you think you need? 844-967-2789. And I don't know. I don't know how many close. I am an extrovert.
You are.
I like people.
Mm-hmm.
I make friends easily,
you
I would
do.
Say.
Yeah, you did.
And yet, I think there is a difference between quantity and quality. So what does it mean to have a good friend? And talking about this more from the actual health benefits, because it has been linked to at least having one good friend, and that can be a spouse, a sibling, but like having one person, and how much that is linked to, if not having that is linked to depression, anxiety, actual like real health outcomes as far as like heart disease, a stroke. And there was one study that said loneliness is as harmful to your physical health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, which I thought was really interesting.
I saw that, and I need to know that. I need to know their definition for this with loneliness.
Of like what that means?
What that level of loneliness means, because I don't want someone reading that who, like, I don't want to invalidate anyone's feelings, but I think there's a difference between feeling loneliness, like, oh, I'm just feeling alone right now, and feeling like and actually going through loneliness, and not to miss, like, I don't want anyone to misdiagnose themselves, mm-hmm. and be like, oh my gosh, I gotta, you know, find yourself friends, talk to somebody, get yourself the help you need to get, but also let's understand what that term loneliness means, because that doesn't sound like a medical term to me. I'm not trying to take away from the conversation, and I want to have the conversation, but that actually stuck out to me really hard. I'm like, that's a hardcore correlation to make. So for me, Lisa.
For you.
Yeah.
Well, how many friends do you really need, Greg?
That's an interesting question I've been thinking about since I read this article. I think that if it's healthy, I think if the friendship is healthy, if the relationship is healthy, I think I just need like 3 or 4. You know?
Mm-hmm.
In my life, the way I behave is I'm kind of an isolated person. So I tend to not go out. I'm more introverted. So that group tends to shift around. Like, there's some people I'm close with sometimes, and then I lose touch with them, but then I get back in touch with them, and they're still, I consider them good friends,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have that, like, you know, I don't know. I don't have that group of, I don't have the quick TV show Friends type of group where you're always in each other's lives. You're hanging out with each other. You're going to coffee. You're doing all these things. I've never had that in my entire life. So it was kind of, I don't want to say depressing to read this, but it did bring me down a little bit.
Why?
Because I always wanted that growing up, you know, not to get like super dour about things, but I didn't have friends growing up. I was a lonely kid. I was a very lonely. I had kids I went to school with. There was kids I hang out with, but without getting into like the super duper, without me having to pay you for therapy.
Okay. I'll take it. I'll take the money.
But I just was not that kid. I just didn't have a lot of connections growing up. And that's something that's followed me in my entire life.
Do you feel like you have close friends now? Not to continue the therapy, but.
I do. I think I do have. I know I have close friends now, but even, but the level, or not the level of closeness, but like the way we interact is still, I'm still an isolated person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, like, you know, I, to this day, when I see friends of mine who I consider friend, like close friends, going out and doing things, they're like, oh, they went out to this thing and they didn't invite me. It hurts. And I hate that, because I'm a 45-year-old man. I got bills to pay. I just paid my water bill. I got important things. I shouldn't be worrying about, oh, they went to a thing and I didn't. Okay. You know,
Yeah.
So I think, like, if you have, like, if you're someone like me, sad, if you're someone like me, I think you only need a few. You don't need a lot. So.
And how many friends do you need?
Well, and I've been thinking about this as we've been talking about this. And I'm decidedly more like Greg. I'm certainly more introverted than you are, Kristen.
Well, I think a lot.
Most people.
I think there's like two people in my life that I think are more extroverted than me. My husband and our friend Sud, who just never need to recharge, apparently. Like,
wow.
They just could, if they could, they would go out and be with people every night. I sometimes at least need to be like, I need me time. But for the most part, I get energized by being with people.
Right. Yeah. I would say like 5.
Yeah.
5 really close friends who you can call. I mean, I have one of my closest friends, Bubba. We haven't lived in the same state for 40 years. She lives in Texas. We became really good friends for a couple of months before she moved back to Texas. And that was decades ago. And we only see each other maybe every couple years if we're lucky. But she's still one of my tightest friends. I can call her for anything.
Well, and apparently that around five is that number. So at least, and this is coming from a New York Times article I found called How Many Friends Do You Really Need? And by Catherine Pearson. And it is it's looking at the actual research. And so if your goal is simply to mitigate the harmful impact of loneliness, depending on how that's defined, you need one. You need at least one important person in your life, whether it's partner, parent, friend, someone else. But then there's this other idea of Dunbar's number. And it's basically that humans can only cognitively maintain about 150 connections, which is wild to think about when you flip it around as far as what social media now has become.
Yeah.
Of, you know, the amount of people, like friend requests and stuff that I, especially as someone who puts themselves on the internet, the amount of people who are nameless and or faceless because they interact with the stuff that I put out there, but I don't know them.
Yeah.
And because I've put some of my stuff out there and myself out there, they feel like they know me because I do that. But those aren't like friends, right? And the world before social media, like 150 people seemed like 150 Christmas cards, right? Like that was like a lot, but that was like the people you've known in your life. And then inside of that Dunbar's number of 150 connections includes an inner circle of five close friends. And so I think you guys are both kind of right as far as like the people that are you really rely on, that you text, call, know you. You can be your worst version of yourself too, and not think that you're still putting on the facade of happy, charismatic, funny, whatever. And I'm trying to think now if that rings true, because I also think that there's a chance once you have your person being like a significant other, how much you end up putting a lot of that on them instead of additional those four other people.
And I think if you took my wife out of the equation, I think there's maybe two people I can do that with and feel comfortable. And not because I'm afraid of, like, I don't trust them, or I'm like, you know, like, I don't really like you, like, as a friend or blah, blah. It's because I'm so hyper aware of my own behavior and how that might impact your day and your, like, it's like, once again, we're adults. All these things I feel almost childlike or childish in a way, where I'm like, I can't sit here and tell you the things that are going on in my brain because I feel like you've got things to do and you've got your own things to deal with. So let's just, how are you doing? You know, like, so, you know, and I think that's, that speaks a lot to men's health.
Yeah.
You know, and why we have such a hard time talking about our feelings. Even the most, the kindest men I know have a really, like, able to listen and talk and be sensitive to other people, have a very hard time talking about their feelings and making true male friends. That's very, especially as you get older, very difficult to do. They talk about that in the article, is how it's hard for adults to. I would say it's even harder for men to become really close friends with somebody because we're just not raised to do that. We're not wired to do it, if you will. That's just my opinion, though.
Well, and it's interesting because I think about right before Christmas, Twitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who unalived himself and was this beloved. I mean, I remember the first time I ever watched him on So You Think You Can Dance, like All-Star season. Mm-hmm. This was before I think this was early aughts.
Yeah.
He's been in the public eye for a while, and he is an incredible dancer. He was on the Ellen show. He ended up being an executive producer on the Ellen show. Yeah. This radiates positivity. And was a dad, and like, you know, I think that shocked so many people, and I did not follow up enough because it's a weird celebrity thing as far as you get into someone's mental health. But it brings up the question of, specifically with men, but almost anybody, of this facade that you put up, and it feels like to the outside world, and whether that's the outside world as a celebrity or the outside world just in your circle of friends or how you, the stuff that you choose to share, you seem totally fine, but in reality, like, you're lonely or you're carrying demons. And so I just think it's interesting as far as, I think that five number in the face of social media and these like popularity contests is a good thing to remember that, like, if you got somewhere between like 2 and 6, you're doing all right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think most people would agree with you too. Like, I mean, people who are out there to get followers and friends on social media, they don't, you know, they're not, they're also not saying in the same breath, I want to talk to all of them. I want to have a conversation with every single one of them. No, they don't. They want the fame and the fortune that comes with all those things. And that's fine. Go do your thing, Jelly Bean. I'm fine with that. But like, I think most people would agree. Like, my sister and I are very different in that sense. Like, she is just content with having, you know, a very small group of friends. She doesn't, I mean, she's on social media. She doesn't care about it. She's not out there to get people's attention. I'm a comedian. I literally stand on stage and beg people to laugh at me through jokes. That's not healthy thinking. But like, you know, like, so she, when I read that article, I thought about her. So like, yeah, she's been like this her whole life, as long as I've known her. Is that she only needs like a crew of like 4, and she's great. She doesn't care about anybody else.
Well, and it's also interesting to think about, because as I've moved so much,
yeah,
you know, Wisconsin, L.A., Berkeley, San Francisco, New York, L.A., back to...
Humble brag.
No, I say that because I've struggled with this as far as in the attempt that I can make friends easily. I can, the initial connection of, oh, look at how much we have in common. We have fun together. Mm-hmm. We can talk about stuff. But the amount of people that it's hard once you move to maintain that with, to the point that when I got back to Milwaukee, and I moved to Milwaukee because I'm from Madison, but it's like I didn't know a ton of people when I first got to Milwaukee, and I was nervous about getting a relationship with Mike as quickly as I did.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't just make all of your friends my friends, because what if this doesn't work out?
Yeah.
And luckily it has. But it's I've realized that in moving as much as I have, I've made so many friends. But in reality, especially when the measure is like how close you still are to them, because of course I still care about them, but that feeling of what have I lost because I've moved so much, and how many people I'm still not friends with that have known me for more than 3 or 4 years, like, and have that still, that they knew me at 20 and we're still good friends. It's like Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
And really that's kind of it right now. And like, there's a sadness there as far as like having those longstanding friendships. And that's on me for one, moving as much as I did, and also not putting in the work to keep them strong despite distance.
But the other question is like, did they put in the work? There's a whole different bunch of questions you can ask with
certainly
that. Yeah. But I would say, like, you know, I know we have to wrap up, but I just want to say the friendship that you and I have created, like, here's the thing, is I will say this for real, and people will use this. You and I have been friends for 2 years? No.
Only not even a year and a half yet. We met in October. We met in
2021?
Comedy Fest 2021.
Oh, that was 20. Yeah, we've been friends for... I feel like I've been friends with you for a very long time. And I think that speaks more to both your extroverted self as well as your desire to like want to be in people's lives and care. So, thank you. I appreciate you.
We're going to keep talking about this. If you have thoughts about how many friends you have, how many friends you think you need, 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Through all the hearts, yeah, you know you're a friend of mine.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance of snow overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 29. Winds out of the southwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for snow. Highs level off around 34. Chance of snow showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 27. Cloudy skies expected. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinere on the board. We got Greg Bach in studio co-hosting. Jane, where are we on Kevin McCarthy trying to become Speaker of the House?
We are doing vote number 5.
They're on 5?
They're on 5. Okay. Going into 5.
Yeah, yes. You know what they say. You know what they say. Fifth time's the charm.
There you go.
On the homepage of AP News right now, there's a picture of Kevin McCarthy just like rubbing his eye and he's laughing. Yeah. But it's just like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm sure he can't believe, but it is. I think he lost another vote. If I'm right, reading that, it was a win from 19 to 20 votes against him. So at least we'll have stuff to talk about until this is done.
It could be months.
It will never be done.
There's also a meme going around with Kevin McCarthy's body with a picture of Beaker from the Muppets. Beaker of the House.
The internet for the win.
Of course, my mind just went to Master of the House.
Wrong. different kind of house.
Different house. Musical. Maybe they'll turn this into a musical. Do you not know what the reference was when I say Master of the House?
No, that sounds
Keeper
really.
Keeper of the Inn.
No, what is that?
Les Miserables.
Oh, okay. I don't like French things.
You don't like brie cheese?
I'm just kidding. Oh no, look at me. Do you think I ever said no to a brie cheese? Brie, come to me. That's what they're going to put on my tombstone pizza.
All right. Well, after this, we are going to be joined by Johnny Beaner, who
yes,
is
sir.
Comedian. Why do I keep saying that? Why do I want to say comedian? Even though I know female comics hate that. Neither of them have been female comics.
No, they haven't. And you're very right to know those things. You're very correct. I think when you're saying comedian, I think instead of delineating between the male and the female, I think you're just trying to be fancy and accent, but the comedian.
It's like what I say.
I'm talking about comedian.
It's like what I say. Like Elon Musk. Stuff like that. It's just like trying to find a funny way to say it, but I also know that it's totally incorrect.
Elon Musk. I'd never.
Comedian. Johnny Beaner will be here after the break, but we are going to wrap up our conversation currently as far as. How many friends do you need?
Yeah. Anybody out there? Anyone out there want to be my friend?
Are you asking? Are you going to help want to sign up?
That scares me so much. I don't like being talked to after I get off stage. I don't want to meet people, random blind people, like blind friendship, if you will.
And it's interesting because I think there's probably the flip side of if you're in the point where you're like, I feel like I have enough friends.
Yeah.
The self-reflection and the self-awareness of... Is that you just closing off and are you actually lonely and you're just denying it? Or do you really feel like you have enough friends? But then on the flip side of that, of when you feel like you don't have enough friends, is it because you actually need deeper friendships or because you're looking for attention and you just the desire to be what you think means to be popular?
As someone who's never said outwardly, I need more friends. I don't know. I truly don't. I mean, I think it depends on the person. I mean, I can't imagine a celebrity saying, I need more friends. You know,
I'm sure. I bet celebrities are wildly lonely.
Oh, absolutely. But they're also not looking for friends. Like that's the only way they can. I mean, Conan O'Brien has a podcast called Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Yeah.
And even though it's in jest, I still feel like there's a point where he's still saying it's lonely. It's hard to be a celebrity and do this and trust people and whatnot. And guess what, Conan? It's hard when you're nobody, too.
But yeah, and it's also, I mean, there's a whole other level of busy.
Well, I mean, I'm not in any way, shape, or form comparing myself to Conan O'Brien. I'm much shorter than he is. I'm much shorter than he is.
Are you?
Yeah, he's like 6'8". I'm 6'2".
No, he's 6'4".
No, he's not. He's 6. Keep talking.
I'm going to keep talking. I don't
keep talking tall potatoes.
I'm pretty sure he's like 6'4", 6'5", at most, because he does not look like a freak when he's...
Really?
Because humble brag, I know very tall actors.
Oh, he is 6'4".
He's 6'4". Yep.
Thank you.
Some reason I thought he was... Okay, you know
what? So you're like... You're 6'3", so you're basically the same size.
Okay, well, my point is I forgot what my point was because I was proved wrong by the internet. but no, like working in comedy, and this is going to sound like a humble brag as well, but like when you own a venue, the Laughing Tap, when you own a venue, when you have a certain position of power of like hiring, I get like a lot of messages from people like, hey, how's it going? What's going on? I'm like, 3, 2, 1. Can I play at your club sometime? Like, and that shouldn't bother me anymore, but it kind of does because I want to be like, hey, I'm a person. There's an email. Email us.
Yeah.
Don't act like my friend I've never met or like, you know, someone I haven't talked to in a while. And you're like, hey, buddy, what's going on? I haven't seen you in a while, man. What's going on with life? I really want to get in the club. Cool. Nice. All right. Sweet deal.
I don't own a venue, so I don't know what that's like.
But you're TikTok famous.
I'm not TikTok famous.
Your TikTok's As Goes Wisconsin voted top political satire TikTok from account. Something.
I appreciate that you're trying to hype me up, but no. No, but I think that is part of it. I think there is, I don't know, I find this interesting, and the headline obviously grabbed me as far as the actual science behind how this is tied to your health.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and absolutely. The seriousness of which you should take it if you're feeling lonely, mm-hmm. and how much that is tied to your mental health and even potentially your physical health. But that it feels like a very nebulous, subjective thing of what does having friends mean? What does having close friends mean? And especially in an age of, it's easier than ever to connect to people. And yet the statistics of how many people feel lonely keeps going up.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, I think the article said it was, no, it's 12% now.
Okay.
10 years ago, it was 3%.
I'm sorry. I was okay. Yeah, yeah.
And so go ahead.
But don't you think too that's partly the fault of social media, because people see things on Facebook, and the assumption is everyone's life is so much better than mine, and everyone has so many more friends than I do. And I think that's part of the problem.
The comparison game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, it's I wouldn't blame social media. I'd blame my brain. And like looking at why, no, seriously, I would look at why do I think like that? Are there truths within it? And if they're not, how do I work to get myself out of that way of thinking? It's important thing. It's important work to do, especially when you're a person who wants to get out there and make friends. I know a lot of people who think they have a lot of friends and then they're constantly being hurt in ways that by your and my standards, not that big of a deal. It's just because they're putting themselves out so hard.
Yeah.
That they're just putting themselves out for failure because they're like, hi, you're you. I don't even know your last name. We're best friends. Mm-hmm. And then when you don't call or want me to hang out, I'm like, why don't they want to be friends with me? It's because you went too hard, bro. You went too hard.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the noon hour. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, Johnny Beaner will be here to talk about comedy, re-recording comedy albums, and why one would do that. Greg Bach will still be here, and Brian Kelly's going to join us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Feed
fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.